Bones. Bones.
Bong. National Trust staff given snail handling lessons.
Bong.
75-year-old fridge still going strong.
Bong.
Jack Russell defeats cougar.
Bong.
Nun sees off doormat health and safety zealots.
Bong.
Boy watches pet turtle eaten at aquarium.
Bong.
Harrods unveils $1 million advent calendar.
Bong.
Cheryl Cole gets pie in the face.
Bong.
Tower falls wrong way during demolition.
Bong.
Burnt Otto Vordegemenschenfelder has longest name in Germany.
Bong.
British Gas offers dead woman swimming lessons.
Bong.
Asian man boards plane disguised as old white man.
Bong.
Woman reunited with diamond ring she flushed down toilet 2 years ago.
Bong.
Council treats staff to foot rubs and massages in front of benefits queue.
Bong.
That's the ultimate bong. Obama sex bill. Jesus Christ.
Carry on.
I need you to bong.
Okay, bong.
Obama sex doll for sale in China.
Bong.
Dali moustache tops poll.
Bong.
Doctors remove chopstick from man's stomach after 28 years.
Bong.
Escaped emu chases kids down streets.
Bong.
Man rescued after burying himself in sand.
Bong.
Grenade juggler sparks panic.
Bong.
Woman attack cop with sex toy.
Bong.
Tea partying singer Pat Boone launches mail order steak business.
Bong.
Metallica guitarist kicks balloon in child's face.
Bong.
November 18th declared have sex with a guy with a moustache day.
Bong.
Grandmother 61 has smooth face of a 40-year-old due to collagen skin disorder.
Bong.
That's Wong's bongs for this week.
Here comes another big recruit.
Hello and welcome. This is Paper Cuts. I'm Sam.
I'm Tom. How's it going?
Good. Not so well for me. My microphone has tried to attack me once or twice. Just hit me in the face. It's actually caused me to bleed.
Yeah, that's the sort of willing commitment that you've got into the situation.
I know. This is dangerous business. The radio game.
Yeah, it's true. It's cutbacks. All the staff are feeling the pinch. Even the inanimate objects. Are you right holding it like that? Does it feel comfortable?
It's going to have to do, I think.
Okay, no,
it's
cool.
Not going to do, actually. I will need to use my hands at some point.
Okay. Right, well, should we have a... Do you want a break whilst you repair your...
Let's have a little break. We'll come back in a second.
We'll be back after these audio messages that are songs. Hello, we're back in the room.
Yeah, we're back.
What was all that about? Yeah, we're fixed now. We're standing up.
What's going on with
this? This is a new feeling for us, standing up. Feels like a sort of boxing match. I feel like Frost versus Nixon.
I try to avoid standing wherever possible.
Yeah, I can imagine. But you know, you've been sat down all day, so you just have to deal with it. Well, it's been a tough week preparing Paper Cuts this week. Partially because I lost my script on the way here. Partially because you've punched yourself in the face with a microphone. Yeah, so the main issue that's going on this week is that there's just too much bullshit going on. It's quite distracting to write about news when there isn't really that much news going on. Have you found this?
Yeah, I found this. There's been a lot of non-news happening.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people on the old social media, it's thriving with people who are annoyed about how annoying something is. You kind of this never-ending circle of being slightly annoyed about things that are rubbish and then letting it wind you up and sort of... Twitter's become
the whining about whining.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too far. Now I'm whining about the whining about the whining. It's just too much, you know, it's too much to handle. So I'm just going to... Let's just get some of the big issues out of the day that have been occupying the media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is stupid and rubbish. The X Factor, this is also stupid and rubbish. No one cares about royal weddings anymore. People can now organise their own fun. You just got to look at the Facebook group that was organising a party for when Margaret Thatcher dies. The times are different now. The Beatles on iTunes. Come on, is that... Well, Steve Jobs, how about Steve get him some jobs to do? Yeah? Hey, are you with me?
Yeah.
Obviously one of the biggest news stories has been the Twitter joke trial.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been feeling that as an issue?
That has actually been quite an issue. That's actually something that does seem to be quite alarming.
Have you found anything out about this? Is anything worried about you this week, Yumi?
Shall we recap the story for...
Yeah, do recap the story.
Okay, so this guy sent a... this was kind of... There was snow happening and this guy was trying to go and see somebody... friend or someone in Northern Ireland, and he was worried his flight was going to be cancelled. He discovered that the airport was closed. The airport was going to fly out from, so he posted on Twitter, crap, Robin Hood Airport is closed, you've got a week to get your shit together or I'm going to blow the place sky high. And so this was Does that sound menacing to you?
I mean, yeah, it's sort of, it's not like a cuddly thing. It's obviously a joke, but yeah, you know, like it's, you know, it contains words.
It's a joke.
That,
it's not a particularly funny joke.
That's the main issue. To say. And I think,
but I don't think you can arrest somebody and convict them for telling a not very funny joke. Otherwise, we would have been arrested quite a long time
that's
ago.
That's a very good point. Yeah, so exactly, that does seem fair. But I mean, if they'd have picked a really funny joke, I think everyone would have got kind of more annoyed. But because it wasn't funny, I mean, this is basically the problem. And, you know, terrorists don't tend to have the best sense of humour, so
no.
This is what they're probably picking up on, sort of.
They yeah, when the real terrorists, when they are going to bomb somewhere, they don't tend to shout about it on Twitter in a flippant style a week beforehand, you know.
No, well, they would cover up with an ironic hashtag that would let everyone know that it was, in fact, a joke. But, yes, I mean, that's a big issue. And I'd personally like to clear up a few of the things that have been on my Twitter, just to sort of put people's minds at rest, say what's true and what's not true.
Okay, I've been quite alarmed by some of your Twitter.
I can imagine. So, yeah, Boots does sell something called hair mayonnaise. That is true. My last haircut did look like a cross between Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber and MacGyver. I do think the woman who plays Hyacinth Bouquet's neighbour Liz in Keeping Up Appearances is the best celebrity in NW6. I probably wouldn't actually want Dave Benson Phillips to play in my football team above Sean Wright Phillips. I did meet a man with a lion's face tattooed on his
arse. Who is Dave Benson Phillips? Sorry.
Dave Benson Phillips is a comedian. I can't believe you don't know. Is he a comedian? He's not really. He's like a children's TV presenter.
Okay.
He wouldn't be very good at football, I wouldn't imagine. I did get my coat repaired and they sewed a Tic Tac into the sleeve. That did happen.
How have none of these things been in the news? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, they probably will be now. I don't personally know if George Osborne has ever played kabaddi. My autobiography will be called The Tommunist Hoff Manifesto. That will happen.
How's that coming along?
Well, I haven't started yet, but soon. The only kind of art in our house is a half-filled-up World Cup wall chart. That is true.
That's true.
I did, until recently, think that it was called a shotgun wedding because a baby was riding shotgun. I did think that. I don't own a Kindle, and I've never deleted the Quran off the Kindle that I don't own. That never happened. And I can't confirm or deny whether the Stieg Larsson book will replace the Oyster card in 2011. I just don't know if that's true.
Anyway, so this guy, what's his name? His name is Paul Chambers, and he was arrested. He was held for 7 hours in a police cell. He said, "I wouldn't have minded if they'd told me off for being stupid," which was clearly how they saw things, really, but it wasn't like that. Now he's been convicted. He has to pay £1,000 fine. Judge Jacqueline Davies said the tweet was clearly menacing in its content, and obviously so. It could not be more clear. Any ordinary person reading this would see it in that way and be alarmed.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem a bit unlikely. Even Stephen Fry has jumped in saying he'll pay his costs, won't he, because he's so...
Yeah, and other people are kind of making contributions.
Have you made a contribution?
I haven't made a contribution.
No. Okay, fair enough. You don't feel that strongly about
it? No, but now there is a Conservative councillor in Birmingham who could be facing the same kind of... same kind of consequences. Gareth Compton, he tweeted, could someone please stone Yasmin Alibi Brown to death? I shan't tell Amnesty if you don't. It would be a blessing, really. Yasmin Alibi Brown who is she? She was on a radio program and he was getting annoyed at what she was saying, so he posted that. A lot of people post that kind of stuff all the time, but you can't really get away with it so much if you're a politician.
That's true. Yeah, it was like the Conservative councillor who dressed up as Hitler at a fancy dress party and had his pictures put on Facebook. Again, you know, it's all about context, isn't it? You can imagine someone doing that at a party you went to. A little bit dodgy, but if you're a Conservative councillor, you just, you know, should stay away from this sort of thing, shouldn't you?
Are you any relation to Lord Hoffman?
Not that I know. Not that my bank account would suggest so.
Lord Hoffman said in 2004, "The real threat to the life of the nation, in the sense of a people lying in accordance with its traditional laws and political values, comes not from terrorism, but from laws such as these. That is the true measure of what terrorism may achieve. It is for Parliament to decide whether to give terrorists such a victory."
Wow.
He sounds like a wise person.
Stand-up guy. Maybe we are related, after all. Hmm. Other big news stories of the week. One of my favourites has been blind student uses guide pony. I've mentioned the guide pony is something that I came across a few months ago. I find it to be a particularly exciting thing. Have you heard of guide ponies?
I've heard of them, but I've never seen... Have you seen one?
I've never seen one live. I've never seen one being used. So
live, despite the big arena tours that they do.
That's true. They play all the great hits. So they guide horses. They're basically just like really small horses. And much the same as you have guide dogs that kind of guide you around. Mm. These horses, like, they're just a bit sturdier. They weigh about 7 stone and they kind of walk you around, do bits of stuff for you, guide you about. you know, that sort of thing.
I've never seen one of these kind of small horses. Are all small horses kind of recruited into the guide horse business? Or
well, it's interesting you should ask that, Sam, because I've got here with me some common misconceptions about guide horses. Misconception one, guide horses compete with guide dogs. A guide horse is a personal preference, and guide horses are not for everyone. The Guide Horse Foundation caters to horse lovers, those who need a guide with a long lifespan, blind equestrians who ride horses, and blind people with dog allergies. So they don't compete with them. Second misconception, the Guide Horse Foundation breeds horses. Miniature horses have a wide variation in size, and it's not practical to breed them. Less than 1% of miniature horses are suitable for the Guide Horse program, and all horses must have exceptional small size, physical health, and above-average intelligence.
Do they have to go through kind of some kind of very rigorous procedure? Very competitive?
It's competitive,
all
exactly.
All the miniature horses want less to get into the Guide Horse business. What's the procedure for getting into that? Do they have to go through 6 years of Guide
Horse
firstly,
college? Well, firstly, I'm just going to tell you that the Guide Horse Foundation do not place dwarf horses as guides. They don't do that, okay? So don't worry about that. And only horses found healthy by a licensed vet are accepted onto the Guide Horse program. So yeah,
the, you know, are there other jobs that miniature horses do? Do they just for like for miniature people to do equestrianism, for example?
Well, I'm sure they use proportionally smaller horses for smaller people, and I mean it's going to be hard to do like show jumping, I would say, but like dressage. I don't know how you say that, but the one where you sort of parade around in a little jacket. You can probably do that on a small horse as a midget. I don't know. But that was an exciting
good.
Story.
I'm glad we got all that cleared up.
Yeah,
because, you know, I was quite in the dark about
a lot of misconceptions about guide horses. Also, they do need a shower. And if you're going to put them in the shower, they should wear rubber shoes. That's another important fact.
Okay, good. Okay, so other stuff. We've been away for a little while. We should... probably recap on some of the news we talked about last time. So last time we told you about Paul the Octopus and his tragic death. The good news is that he has been replaced in Oberhausen Aquarium with another octopus also called Paul.
Okay.
But it's too soon to know whether the new octopus has any kind of football prediction abilities. The aquarium spokeswoman Tanja Munzig said in a statement, "No one yet knows whether Paul will be able to follow in his footsteps, or rather his tentacle steps."
Very good. So are they going to start? Why haven't they tested him already? It's not hard, is it? It's two boxes.
He's probably too young. He's only 5 months old, this new one.
He needs to learn the form. I suppose betting is an old man's game, isn't it? So.
Yeah. It's another 4 years before the next World Cup, and octopuses only tend to live for about 2 years. Well, so we don't know whether this one's even going to be alive for the next... Well, probably won't be alive for the next tournament.
Well, speaking of sea life as well, the obviously big story of the last fortnight has been porpoises save Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
Have you heard about this story?
I did hear about this.
Have you got any good... Do you know what it was about?
Well, it was about Dick Van Dyke, the notorious Cockney man.
He's not Cockney.
Really?
He's Mockney. He's American.
Well, he was very convincing in that film, Mary Poppins.
He was equally convincing as the guy in Diagnosis Murder, as Dr. Sloane. So.
He can do all the accents.
He's got all the accents.
So Dick Van Dyke, he fell asleep on his surfboard, and he was rescued by porpoises. Just find the news.
He said the veteran actor told reporters how his ordeal began on an ill-fated trip to his local beach. He woke up out of sight of land and started paddling with the swells, and then he saw fins swimming all around him, and he thought he was dead. They turned out to be porpoises, and they pushed him all the way to shore. Apparently, so. 84 and still surfing, that is impressive.
That is good.
I mean, he's obviously not that good at it, but still, he's, you know.
I mean, if you're in danger of falling asleep when you're surfing, I think you should stop going surfing.
That's probably a good idea. One of my other crazy stories of the week. Did you see man forced to eat his own beard? Did you see this one?
No, I didn't see that one.
A Kentucky man has told how two friends, they've put it in a quotation, in scare quotes, how two friends cut off his beard and forced him to eat it in a fight over a lawnmower. Harvey Westmoreland told police the pair, James Hill and Troy Holt, had invited him and his brother to their house. They called and wanted me to come round there, and when I got there, I realised they were already drunk. One thing led to another, and before I knowed it, there were knives and guns, and everything just went haywire. Then they cut my beard and forced me to eat it. So there you go. That is...
Wow.
It's not a good punishment, but that was an intense story for me this week.
Probably my favourite story since we've been away. This was... In the Sunday Mirror, it said a woman was accidentally charged £1.95 for a 74p green pepper when her boobs rested on the scales in a Jersey co-op.
That's a good story, good story.
But I heard a different version of the story on Have I Got News For You. They said it was the cashier's boobs who were resting on the scale.
Oh, so that's classic.
I don't know which one it was.
A lot of people could have been being overcharged then as they go through.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye out for that.
Well, that's, you know, one way to get off sort of a sexual harassment charge. Hey, I wasn't staring at her boobs. I was just making sure that I wasn't...
They weren't going near the scales.
Yeah, I wasn't being charged extra for plums.
Good point.
Well, that's good to know.
Sometimes I'm pretty sure my plums have been resting on the scales sometimes.
I can imagine. Yeah, yeah. You don't get many of them to the pound.
No.
Okay, so other exciting stories of this week. One thing that sort of caught my right eye was a story today. Scientists are suggesting that the colonisation of Mars could happen faster and more economically if astronauts behave like the first settlers to come to North America, not expecting to go home. The main point is to get Mars exploration moving, says a Washington State University professor who co-authored an article that proposes the idea. So someone said that we're not ready for this yet, and NASA has said they want to get their people back when they send them up there. But apparently it's the technology already exists to get them there. By not taking the extra fuel and provisions necessary for a return trip to Earth, the mission could cut costs by 80%.
They're right. Are they suggesting any people who they want to send on this mission?
I'm not, but I think Endemol are in negotiations for the first one. Basically, they are suggesting some people, not individuals. They're saying that basically sort of older people from 60... you would send a little bit older folks, around 60 years old or something like that. They're not past reproductive age, you know, probably...
It's a good way of unburdening society.
It's blasting your old people off into space. Mm. I mean, you know, maybe this has come directly from Osborne. This could be a white paper that I'm not quite sure about where this came from. If it already exists, must be quite fun to get out there. You get to 60, you're a bit bored. Mm. I think it's a good idea. I'm quite tempted to go now. Apparently there's a lot of radiation and chances are you're not going to have a great life once you get up there.
So why does he think we need to colonise Mars?
Well, because, you know, inevitably global warming is going to sort of take care of Earth. We're going to, you know, eat so many kebabs that we end up living on a giant tip and, the sun's going to fall off or something. I don't know. I haven't read all of the articles, but basically it's looking like Earth will become uninhabitable. And so they're looking at alternatives.
But to become so uninhabitable as to be more uninhabitable than Mars, it's got some way to go. I think we're safe for the time being.
But if you get an asteroid collision that wipes out take care of the dinosaurs could easily do for us. Hmm. Then you've got to be looking at the next best step, isn't it? You know.
Okay.
So I think it's a good idea. They acknowledge the proposal is a tough sell for NASA with its focus on safety, and most definitely blasting someone off to Mars is a health and safety nightmare. I think we can all say that.
Yeah. Speaking of health and safety nightmare, a recent. One of the things that happened since we were last on is Bonfire Night. For our international listeners, it's a curious British tradition where we celebrate a terrorist plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament.
I believe we celebrate the foiled nature of the terrorist.
The foiled nature.
Although maybe that's changed after the expenses scandal. I'm not quite sure.
So there was a foiled terrorist plot. When was it? Was it 18th century? Is that 17th century?
No, 17th century.
17th century.
Possibly 16th century. I'm not sure.
And it's kind of the one time of year when it's socially acceptable to burn effigies and spend large amounts of public money on controlled explosions and noise pollution.
I don't know, there's sort of during a war zone, that's probably allowed as well, controlled explosions.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Carry on.
A rugby club in Devon, Ilfracombe Rugby Club, they, instead of having fireworks and a bonfire, they had a non-fire night because health and safety legislation meant that having a real bonfire wasn't financially viable. They would have had to have 5 qualified fire marshals and metal barricades to stop people from getting too close. So instead they had footage of a roaring bonfire on a 16-foot by 12-foot screen with speakers playing the sound of crackling wood, and revelers were warmed by giant heaters.
Well, that's certainly a novel approach.
Mm. Asked where the idea for the event came from, the organiser said it was lager, probably. What did you do for Bonfire Night?
I went to... I tried to go and watch some fireworks, but I missed them because I was on a train. Yeah. Because I went to the pub after work. It happens to everyone. You sort of think fireworks go on for longer than they do, but it's 20 minutes and it's done for. Mm. I did watch some fireworks on that Sunday, and they were quite good, but again, they just went on for too long. Like, I don't normally like fireworks anyway. These ones were pretty good in Victoria Park, but after 20 minutes, I am like, there's nothing new for me now. You know, I've seen all I need to see, and they should like wrap it up a little bit quicker, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether how long do you think it will be before we can safely celebrate the foiled terrorist plots of today, like having a, you know, shoe bomber night, or the pants bomber festival, or any of these.
I think again about 400 years possibly. I don't know. It becomes less popular. You're sort of sensationalised. I think you know, you're best off likely to get an episode of Jeremy Kyle in a couple of years. That's probably the more likely sort of tribute that these guys will get. Yeah, but it won't be.
Did you see the there's a video online today I saw of they cut together 100 Jeremy Kyle people going on Jeremy Kyle saying at the end of the day in quick succession. It was kind of weird and hypnotic.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense.
I'll post that on our Twitter.
Follow us on @PaperCutsRadio. We have exciting videos and multimedia things, so yeah, you should go and check that out. One of my favourite stories this week, I've got some really good stories this week, but it was this guy.
Stay tuned.
Guy at PwC. This is a couple of stories that led me to an older story. But someone from PwC, PricewaterhouseCooper, the kind of audit, you know, money making firm, they got in trouble after someone sent an email rating all of the women in their office. The email entitled "This would be my shortlist for the top 10" was forwarded around the office. You know, they all looked like pretty good, so probably I shouldn't be saying that, but I don't work for PwC, so it's fine. But yeah, they're saying they were investigating this. And this led me to a previous thing where an accountant's email became a global hit, which we missed because we were away, we weren't here, but this is great. Gareth Jenkins parted company with PwC after failing to pass a set of exams. So he sent an email around to all of his work colleagues, you know, sort of goodbye, parting shot, as you will. He said, "This is an emotional email for me to have to send. The tears are flowing. Today is my last day at PwC. I haven't sent this to everyone because what would be the point? Why do people send their leaving emails to everyone? We didn't care about you then, and we certainly don't care about you now. I still presume hardly any of you knew me, which is good because I'm rubbish at audits, so I wouldn't have helped your stellar careers. I've also learnt how to not decorate an office. Green and orange block colour walls with business buzz phrases on. Find your space, always add value, etc. Where do these terrible phrases come from? Is there a team of people lurking about an Embankment Place whose only duty is to pump out this corporate drivel? Oh yeah, Rupert, I like diversify your outlook. Fantastic, fantastic, let's roll it out. Yeah, I'll action that. By codes of play? Absolutely. What does it mean though? Fantastic point. Well, we'll have to revolutionise outside the box on this one, I can tell.
That's very convincing. Do you have a secret career as a buzzword developer?
I could do some of these. You know, we can't let the grass grow on this one. Yeah, that's my new favourite that I learnt today.
Good.
Touch base on this ASAP, rather. I look forward immensely to never having to attend an event in which our beloved leaders stand up and tell us we've massively exceeded budget, so in reward we get no bonuses, and instead we get the treat of listening to Coldplay while quotes from the greatest leaders of our time are played across a screen. Dare we be different? Not really. What we dare to do is stick out 3 years until we get the ACA and we can leave. Except me, obviously. I got fired. Oops. I have a personal email, so if you want to send me anything, I can't imagine why you would, just guess it. If it's meant to be, I'll get it. I'm also on Facebook, but I hate it. If we ever talked, doubtful, I avoided anyone that looked like they might give me some work. Add away. I've left some treats in the group area. Not really. Bye forever. Kiss, kiss, kiss." So there you go. I like that as a kind of bold bridge-burning exercise. If you know you're not going to work somewhere again, you may as well stick it to them on the final day.
Got another story about somebody being fired. This headline caught my eye, actually. It said, "Hoffman becomes Britain's best paid gardener."
Wow.
How's that working out for you?
It's pretty good. Yeah, considering as we only have a tomato plant. And my Venus flytrap in my room is going very well, but it's not. I didn't expect it to be a money spinner, I'll be honest with you.
Okay. This is actually about Gary Hoffman, who was the chief of Northern Rock, and he was fired because he was he decided to leave to join rival NBNK, but because it was a competitor, The Rock put him on gardening leave for 6 months on full pay. And hence the headline.
Okay.
He actually the next day announced he wasn't going to take the cash. He told Northern Rock not to pay him, and insisted it was his decision. He said, "I never wanted to be on gardening leave. I certainly don't want to be paid for doing nothing." So maybe bankers actually have a conscience.
Wow, who would have thought it? Someone who doesn't really have a conscience seems to be a Metropolitan Police firearms officer. who may have fired a shot that killed a barrister, Mark Saunders. He's been removed from firearms duty after allegedly inserting song titles into his oral evidence at the dead man's inquest. Now, this basically would get the hashtag epic fail, wouldn't it, really? I mean, it's not a smart thing to be doing.
There's a time and a place for that kind of thing, and probably an inquest into somebody's death.
Interviews on Football Focus, go for
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's fine. But yeah, it's not good. So
he probably decided, I'm never going to get interviewed on Football Focus. This is my one shot at glory.
That's true. You know, I mean, I didn't recognise a lot of the songs that he's got
in there. I don't think I know any of the songs that were listed in that story.
Well, I mean, I guess he probably didn't go for the more popular ones.
No, it would have been a bit obvious he went, oops, I did it again.
Yeah, that's true, but could have been strangely fitting. But you're not allowed to talk about evidence of previous trials in a current court case, so you probably have to drop, oops, I did it again.
Okay. Now, sticking with the like law and law enforcement subject, in China, I saw that law enforcement jobs were being advertised as... candidates must be female, aged between 18 and 23, over 5'2" tall, attractive, and with a good temperament. Their contracts will end when they turn 26. this is because Chinese law, urban law enforcement officers called Chengguan, they have a bad reputation, with many regarding them as little more than thugs. So the authorities in this particular province said that they wanted a women-only team who would present the soft side of the Chengguan. Their main job is to present a good image so they have to be good looking, said the human resources director of the law enforcement bureau. And when they get older, they will get married and have children, so it will not be convenient for them to do such work. Having them leave at 26 is for their sake.
Well, you just don't get that sort of honesty from HR departments in this country.
No, apparently this kind of thing goes on a lot in China. There's an advert for a sales assistant in the Zhengzhou Electric Bike Company, which wants a candidate with a smile to topple the city, and even stipulates the vital statistics: 36, 22.5, 36. In 2004, the Hunan provincial government dropped its requirement for women civil servants to have symmetrical breasts after it was widely ridiculed.
Well, this is tough. I mean, basically, they should get these this HR people onto the Mars colonization program, because they could be, you know, they say, you're over 60 years old, there's nothing left for you to live for, you may as well go to Mars. You know, they've got the honesty to just put it out there, so they'll get the job done. That's what you've got to admire about the Chinese.
Meanwhile, police in this country are going to be in a better position to handle witchcraft-related incidents after they were given a 300-page diversity handbook, which tells them the do's and don'ts of approaching followers of different religions and that kind of thing, including Zoroastrianism. So the guide says, don't interrupt a pagan ceremony. Some ceremonies include a blindfolded, naked participant whose hands may be bound. This is in accordance with ritual and has the full consent of the participant. How do you know it's a ritual? Are the police not allowed? Shouldn't they sort of check these things first?
Yeah, you probably should check. You know, how would you go about doing that there, you know?
I think you're going to have to risk offending some people.
Okay. Well, that is a big risk.
Or do you think that this is kind of a sensible move to make sure that police don't upset people, or do you think it's political correctness gone mad?
It's tough to say. I never like to bust out the political correctness gone mad argument. One thing that I found this week is UNESCO, the kind of heritage place, has been they put kind of rather than just kind of sites of heritage, they also have kind of cultural things, little kind of practices or that sort of thing that should be protected and kind of preserved. And I'm just going to give you some of the highlights here. We have Turkish oil wrestling, the Luxembourg hopping procession, Peruvian scissor dancing, and Croatian gingerbread making. So again, diversity is important. Think of all those great things you could learn.
Are there any protected British traditions like Morris dancing or...
I don't think so. I think even UNESCO wants to get rid of that.
Okay. That's a shame.
I've got a good story here. This is my favorite. We like a good story about a criminal who's, you know, kind of come unstuck. Mm-hmm. This is pretty intense. Charles McManus admitted robbing Mr. Czar in Glasgow Springburn area. A man robbed a takeaway driver of pizzas, cash and his mobile phone. But he was caught later on. Okay, so I'll tell you, this is what happened. The Glasgow court heard how McManus was stunned, because basically the guy who he'd mugged was told to go, he was like, right, he mugged him, and then he said, right, go right at the end of this road. But he thought it was a trap, so he went left. And he went to the first available house that had a lit window to go and ask if he could use their phone. It turned out to be the robber's own house, where he lived with his mother and his brother. So he went into the living room and sat down when the burglar came in, and he recognised him straight away. How intense is that?
I heard about a group of teenagers who fooled all the neighbours into thinking they were going to do a 10-mile run for charity. They were caught in connection with a bicycle theft, and the policeman, instead of putting them through the courts and making them get a criminal record and all that, instead they decided just to make them do the race.
Okay.
That's probably a sensible move, isn't it?
I don't think it is a sensible move, if I'm honest with you, because it sort of encourages people to basically, if you're going to run a marathon, you may as well just like try and steal lots of money, and if you get caught, you have to run it, and if you don't, you just get to keep the money. That's certainly the lesson that I've taken from this story.
So they should have been made to do a longer run?
Exactly, twice as long, or proportional to how much money they took.
They were accompanied on their run by another policeman who is a keen marathon runner.
So he would have had them through their paces.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's good. We're definitely fans of alternative punishments as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great. I've heard of a man lost weight after seeing himself on Google Street View. Bob Muse, 56, weighed 21 stone after years of stuffing himself with cakes and biscuits. But he was horrified a year ago when he saw himself on Google Street View as he decided to start losing weight. And he's now down to 14 stone. So there you go. It's just nice, the sort of modern age. And the, that's the thing. Facebook, I think, makes people a little bit more kind of aware of their own kind of aesthetic.
If you're going to have lots of pictures of yourself that people are going to kind of stalk you online.
Yeah, yeah. Because also you're more conscious of your image as well. Mm. Like, because it's surrounded by it. So and surrounded by other people's.
But Google Maps, on the other hand, is slightly less reliable. They caused an accidental invasion recently. Costa Rica, I think, was invaded Nicaragua, or it could have been the other way around, because because Google Maps told them that the part of land they were on was in the different country, and so they kind of planted their flag, removed some other flags, and now they've been embarrassed by the whole thing.
Bloody hell, that sounds a bit intense.
Mm. Those countries are pretty much arguing a lot. I think they don't get on very well.
No, well, that's it. You need to update your Google Maps in that case to the latest official stats. Have you got any other exciting stories for us?
Got some exciting stories. Here's a statement about the invasion from Costa Rica's excellently named President Laura Chinchilla. He said, Costa Rica is seeing its dignity smeared, and there is a sense of great national urgency. It was actually Nicaragua who invaded Costa Rica. So.
Okay.
There you go. Speaking of kind of cultural sensitivities, did you see the story about the couple who got married in the Maldives, and it was kind of a sham. They had like a local ceremony, but it turns out that when they put the video on YouTube, that the local people who were doing the ceremony in the language that they don't understand actually called them infidels, and... It was worse than that. They said, "Your marriage is not a valid one. You are not the kind of people who can have a valid marriage. One of you is an infidel. The other two is an infidel, and we have reason to believe an atheist who does not even believe in an infidel religion. You fornicate and make a lot of children. You drink and you eat pork." The ceremony, they were taken to plant a coconut tree together, during which various comments are made about the bride's breasts. And they were charged $1,300 for the ceremony.
Wow.
And police in the Maldives have arrested two people in connection with this incident. President Mohamed Nasheed has promised new guidelines on conducting wedding ceremonies. I'm pretty sure that the absence of guidelines wasn't kind of the reason why this happened.
No, it doesn't seem like that way. I think that's probably... I don't see myself getting married anytime soon, but I'm probably going to pick a language I can understand.
I think that's the moral, yeah.
The
don't get married in a language that you're asking for trouble if you get married in a language that you don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Another story that I particularly liked while we were away was about Countdown and a round of Countdown having to be pulled because a contestant made a rude word.
What was
it about this one? Okay, the letters that came up were D T C E I A S H and F. You've got 30 seconds.
I'll take, wait, do that again. Do that again.
D.
Get have you got a pencil at home, listeners? It's not writing this down.
D T C E I A S H F.
I can't even remember. Show me the letters. They at least get to see it on Countdown. I don't know. I'm quite good at these normally. Was it how many letters was it?
8 letters, but there's actually an even better 9 letter one that the contestant didn't get.
I don't know.
Well, the word the contestant came up with was shitface.
That's really good. You missed shitfaced. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There was a D left over. How did he not get shit-faced? But no.
How did he not get? I'm sure he did afterwards.
Yeah, he probably did.
Hey, oh, thanks. I'm heroic.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dictionary Corner, they were happy with it. Susie Dent in Dictionary Corner told presenter Jeff Stelling that it was slang for rude or obnoxious person or drunk person.
And Stelling's definitely in there. He's not going to veto that.
But the producers, they pulled the round. They had to kind of do it again.
No way.
Apparently, on a previous occasion, both contestants came at the word wankers.
Yeah, and there's that classic episode of Blockbuster where they need to come up with a word beginning with O that means a creature, and he went with orgasm rather than organism. Easily done. Well, I don't watch Countdown anymore, and that's one of the main reasons why. When they get a good one, the producers cut it.
Yeah.
If I was in charge of that show, I'd be deliberately setting up more swear words, and just put it on later.
Isn't it only students who watch Countdown anyway? I mean.
Well, and old people. Old people do love Countdown. I mean, it's a good game, don't get me wrong. Maybe they have Hollyoaks later for, a little bit more raunchy adult.
Yeah.
You could have it called Countdown. You can maybe take one of the letters out. I'm not going to say which one.
What about kind of an after hours version of Countdown, late night Countdown?
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah. So you have a kind of a Countdown extra for rude words. I don't know how you would marshal that.
Suggest it. Anyway, big society news, and the amateur town planner and professional anachronism, Prince Charles, is doing his bit for the big society. He's offered to do the job of a quango that had its funding axed in the comprehensive spending review by arbitrating on Britain's most significant planning applications. He has a charity called the Foundation for the Built Environment, and he's offered for his charity to kind of do the work of this quango about making decisions about what can get built and what doesn't, which modernist architectures are annoyed about because they think he's just going to... Prince Charles has been very vocal about his preference for traditional styles of architecture. He published a book in which he attacked modernist architecture for deliberately abandoning the grammar of harmony, which lies within us.
Bloody hell.
Okay, well, we should probably call it there. Thank you very much for listening. But you can tweet us. It's not good for that, if that's radio. I know people have heard about that we haven't tweeted recently. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thanks for listening. And see you next week.